Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike live in studio with my wife, Linda. And what a crazy summer we've been having. We've been having nonstop company with family visiting. And so because of that, those of you who are Facebook live people, if you decided to click on that link I posted on Facebook, you're not going to see anything. You're just going to hear it because we forgot to bring in all our stuff. We keep switching which car we're in and putting luggage in our car. And so things are a little crazy here. But you can still call in or not even text us on the church phone. I'll let Linda tell you how you could communicate if you want to participate with us today. Go ahead, hon.
Hi. It has been one crazy day. We had our whole website suspended, meaning our emails were suspended. I mean, it just turned into this big old thing we've been working on all morning. And of course, isn't it the morning? You don't have time to deal with things like that. But I think everything is up and running again. Thank you, Lord. We just aren't quite as prepared today as we usually are, but that's okay. Radio audience, you get our full attention today.
Right.
So if you want to call in, and we'd love it. We'd love to hear from somebody today. That number is 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you want to text, if you have an Apple device, I can get your text. I forgot the church phone at home because I was charging it. But I have my phone, and my phone will pick up those back and forth texts that way. So that number would be 208-891-2635. But why don't you give us a call? We would love that. And yeah, I'm not really trying to have this sultry voice today. It's all the smoke in the air and all the coughing I've been doing. At this point, I'm lucky to have any voice. So,
all right. Well, I'm glad that I could hear you.
Yeah,
honey.
I was going to say, if you hear coughing in the background, just ignore. Just ignore that woman coughing under the table.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, we are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're continuing in our life-changing truth series. And we have been lately particularly trying to apply the truths of Scripture to our marriages. It's funny, we have a pre-service prayer every Sunday with our prayer teams, and a couple in our prayer team told us that one of the common prayer requests that come forward, people who come forward for in requesting prayer, is marriage and family. And I just wonder how true that is across the board in a lot of churches, a lot of Christian homes, that there's just an ongoing battle in the family and in marriages. So I don't think we're wasting our time at all looking at marriage and family right now. So it kind of encourages me to continue, maybe when we finish this, into our next series of what I was looking at, marriage, divorce, remarriage, because part of that is establishing what marriage is, the sanctity of marriage, the importance of marriage in God's eyes. There's a whole foundation of scriptures when I put that study together about just how important marriage is. Some of it might be a review of some of the things we're doing, but it would certainly be a focus completely on marriage. Now, you know what? We do want to hear from you. And so if you want to let us know if you like that idea or not, you could call us. Even if you want to call in the radio station, let them know, even if you don't want to be on the air. It's area code 208-377-3790. And you could just let the people at the radio station know, and they'll let us know if you don't want to be on the air. Again, if you do want to be in the air, I'll give you the number again. Either way, you could call the station at area code 208-377-3790, and they can relay that information to us. So we don't mind that at all. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, we're slowly going through this text, and we left off in verse 15. And verse 15 is pretty much where we started off, so I want to read it, and then we'll make a couple comments. I really want to get forward towards the end of this chapter when it starts talking about husbands and wives. So it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we did talk about this a lot, I think, last time we were in studio, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this other than to remind you that that should be the occupation of the believer, is understanding what the will of the Lord is, redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil. And by the way, it's not just these days are worse than any days before, or the days in the Bible days were worse than they are now. There's always evil days, okay? I mean, no matter what, there are forces of evil trying to pull you away from God's will for your life. There are forces of evil working around us. Whatever age you live in, whatever year, whatever decade, you know, I've told you before, sometimes I like to watch the History Channel and they'll do a whole series. Excuse me. They'll do a whole series on a decade, like the 60s, the 50s, the 70s. And every decade had its doomsday clock. Every decade seemed to be, this is it, folks. It's about to end. The Lord's coming back, or the devil's taking over or something. I mean, every decade you study in depth, you could realize the people of that decade thought, man, the days are so evil. How are we going to get through this decade? And the next decade rolls in, and there's a whole new set of problems and a whole new set of good, bad, and ugly, okay? So I think this verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil, never wears out. It's something we always need to apply to our lives, and it always we need to learn to be wise, not unwise, and understand what God's will is for you right now, right here in these evil days.
Yeah, that was one thing. Now, this is the last scripture we have on that paper we put together,
right?
Marriage according to the Bible. And the reason this is the last scripture, because it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The whole thing with putting that paper together and all these scriptures we've been going over the last couple months has been to tell you the Bible's viewpoint of marriage. And a lot of that starts with, because those scriptures were dealing with just Christian relationships, how you should act as a Christian.
Right.
And we're saying above everything, you should apply it to your marriage first. Okay. But I wanted us to end with this verse, because you can hear everything the Bible has to say and still say, I don't want to do it.
Right.
You can be unwise. Okay. That will be your choice. If you've been listening to us the last couple months, or even if you just hear today and you hear something, you do have that choice to be wise and listen to what the Bible says, not because we say it, but because the Bible says it.
Right.
Or to be unwise and say, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. Well, I'm sorry if you don't agree with it. It's the Bible. You have to realize, do you believe the Bible or not? And the Bible says, as we've already gone through, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, these are his commandments we're going over here. How much do you love him? How much do you want to live a Christian life? Are you trying to get to heaven by the skin of your teeth? You know, these are things you need to think about and understand what the will of the Lord is. As far as marriage, that's what we've been trying to tell you. That's what we've been trying to pull out the scriptures and show you so that you will have understanding as far as marriage and Christian relationships, what the will of the Lord is. But it will still be your choice.
Yeah.
Just because you know what the Bible says doesn't mean you're doing it. You have to choose to put that into action.
Right, that's
that
right.
Kind of put one foot in front of the other. If not, you're just frozen. You can know something, but what are you going to do with it? That's my challenge to you guys today.
Very good. Yeah, and as you're saying that, hon, I'm realizing something we need to emphasize, that there's a reason why they call the Bible the Word of God, because it's God speaking to you, and it's not just some holy book, some holy man's opinion. It's the Bible. I mean, however you view the scriptures, I want you to know it is called the Word of God for a reason.
Yes.
The Bible is God speaking to us his will, his purposes, his plans, his instructions for our lives, his instructions for you particularly. There are general instructions that apply to everybody, but there's also very personal words. As you read them, you'll find that the Lord is speaking to you very personally. And I really believe it makes a difference if you take the Bible as the Word of God. I'm trying to think, there's a verse, I think it's 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and I don't want to look it up while I'm talking on a radio right now, but it actually, there's a verse where Paul says, I'm so glad that when we came and brought our message to you, that you received it as for what it is, the Word of God. It's not just my opinion, my word, it's the Word of God, and you received it as such. That makes all the difference in the world, folks, all the difference in the world. And if you don't, if you just look at like, well, that's what the Bible says. You know, I know a lot of people take their religion that way. I mean, we go door to door. I have a team, and sometimes we run into Mormons, and they take what they want from Mormonism. And yeah, well, they say that, but I believe this. There's Catholics who take what they want from Catholicism. Yeah, yeah, the Pope says this, but I disagree with that. I mean, there's a lot of people that take their religion like that. That's fine. Do that with man's religions. But don't do that with God's word. Don't do that with the word of God. Never look at things in the Bible and say, yeah, well, that's what the Bible says, but dot, dot, dot. Listen, folks, the word of God is God's word to you. And when you ignore it or reject it or rebel against it, you are ignoring, rejecting, or rebelling against God. Keep that in mind. This isn't just a book. Okay, it's God's word to you. Okay, and now continuing on with that, the next verse here in Ephesians 5 says, and speaking about knowing what the will of the Lord is, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a marvelous command, and I think there's so much truth in here because, first of all, we're told not to be overtaken with intoxication or controlled substances. You know, he says wine here. But believe me, folks, he's not just talking about wine, but it's okay to drink beer. Don't be drunk with wine, but smoke all the pot you want. Don't be drunk with wine, but certainly heroin is fine. You know, listen, it says don't be drunk with wine. And what Paul is saying is he's going to give you a contrast in this verse. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, meaning which is a waste of your life and your time. It's an excess. It's going where you really shouldn't be going, but instead be filled with the Spirit. So there's a lot in here, and I know Linda's got stuff to say about this too. What Paul is saying here is instead of letting your life be run by controlled substances or looking for relief from the stresses and problems in life with intoxication or being loaded, instead take God's way out. Be filled with the Spirit. Remember, I've told you many times, one of the definitions of sin I heard years ago, don't know where I heard it from, but I love it, is that sin is seeking to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. I really believe that to be true. Sin, let me say that again, sin is an attempt to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. We need to feel good. We need to feel relaxed. We need to feel happy. We need to feel joy in life. And so some people try to meet that legitimate need with drugs or alcohol. Well, Paul is saying here, instead of seeking to meet those legitimate needs in your life with controlled substances or smoking pot or whatever it is, the artificial way, be filled with the Spirit. Folks, I can tell you from firsthand experience, there is nothing that compares to the joy of the Lord and being filled with the Spirit, being content in Him, resting in the Lord, being, you know, what is it that says, the peace that passes all understanding, meaning when everything else around you says you should be panicking, you should be worried, you should be freaking out, the peace that passes all understanding, the Holy Spirit just lets you relax and be at peace when everyone else around you is in panic. So that's the difference between, that's one of the differences between being drunk with wine or being filled with the Spirit.
Well, one thing that I see here, because it says, but be filled with the Spirit, and there is a comma, there is not a period.
Right.
And it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. usually, have you found when people are drunk, their mouths open up quite a bit, and maybe they want to get up there and do the karaoke and whatever. But with a lot of people, what comes out is not nice. Hmm. A lot of times with abuse, it comes out when someone is drunk. They do things that they wouldn't do otherwise. And it's usually evil things. It's bad things, okay, that come out. But being filled with the Spirit, what that causes is we're kind to each other. We're speaking to each other. Hymns and psalms and, you know, spiritual songs. We're singing. We're making melody in our heart to the Lord. I tell you, that's one thing that I found that I love when I have a song in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm going around and I don't even realize it and I'm humming. Remember when I was a substitute teacher and I'd be in the classroom and sometimes I'd be doing that. And you notice little kindergartners, they had a tendency to do that. And you'd be telling them, shh, because they're making noise when everybody's supposed to be quiet, but they're, you know. And then it was so funny because one time I'm, shh, and they go, but you're doing it. Mrs. Sasso, you're humming? Why can't we? And it just, I don't realize a lot of times. With my daughter's death, I realized that that sorrow that I felt took that song out of my heart. Mm. It wasn't that joy, that peace wasn't there. When I started catching myself humming again here and there, I realized that I was starting to get over some of that sorrow that was there, you know? Music. Doesn't music affect everyone?
Right.
I think there's a lot to it with, of course, being thankful for everything. But music sets the mood. It really does. If you're listening to good, happy songs, you're usually happy. If you're listening to some of these horrible songs that they'd have to bleep out every other word, it's going to fill you with that anger, that hurt, that language even can then start coming out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. And we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, meaning we're to lift each other up. We're to be a positive, a kind, a nice influence in each other's lives, where sometimes when people are drunk, the absolute worst in them come out.
That's true.
Some people get giddy and happy and do silly things. But a lot of people do very bad things during that time. The Lord doesn't want that for us, mm-hmm. okay? And this word dissipation, bring it up, it's presumed unsavedness. Ah! Okay, when you're drunk, people are assuming you're of the world and not saved because that is not reflecting the way the Bible tells us to live. Wow, we don't want that, do we?
Hmm. Okay, that was a quick stop. Okay.
Yes, it was.
Well, one of the things I want to point out about this text is in verse 18 when it says, be filled with the Spirit, and Linda pointed out that there's a comma there. I believe the reason the comma is there is because the next couple of verses show you what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And to be filled with the Spirit, you are doing these following things. As a matter of fact, she stopped at a comma in verse 20. Yeah. It keeps going. But let me just point out verse 18 says being filled with the Spirit, comma, but verse 19 says speaking to one another, and verse 20 says giving thanks to God. So so there's more. I didn't fill in the whole verse, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a certain way you talk to each other. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a certain way you relate to God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're giving thanks to God. And it actually says in verse 20, giving thanks to God always for all things. Meaning that you could be in a real bummer situation and you still find reason to praise God.
Yes.
You could be in a situation where, well, what's there to be thankful for? You ever have somebody say, when you say good morning, they go, what's so good about it? when you're filled with the Spirit, that's not you. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're giving thanks always for all things to God. Now, that doesn't mean you give thanks because you're in pain, but you will find a way in every situation to be grateful and thankful to the Lord, okay? Now, back in verse 19, it says speaking to one another. So when you're filled with the Spirit, how do you speak to one another? In psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. That means, you know, Linda made a good point that sometimes you're just humming in yourself, you're happy and there's a song in your heart. But also, I believe that when you're filled with the Spirit, you are speaking scripture. You are speaking psalms. You're speaking hymns, meaning that there are classic truths put to music that are just there coming out of you. And spiritual songs, okay? There's three different kinds of songs. There are psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're not going to go into a real deep definition of each one. But when you're what comes out of your mouth when you're filled with the Spirit? It's not dirty jokes, foul language, and insults. It's musical, inspirational. It's foundational spiritual things, okay? But then it also says in verse 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's pretty much what Linda was describing, that she would go around with a song in her heart. Till that time of grief, she described, and that was something we spent a lot of time talking about as a couple, that when we lost our daughter, my wife noticed that that song in her heart was just quenched. There was grief. You know, and there's seasons of your life, my friend. There are seasons of life where the song stops, okay? It doesn't mean life is over for you. It doesn't mean the end of the world. But it's understandable and appropriate that there are times in life when, you know, I mean, our spirit is just quenched and we've got nothing to give anymore. And we need to just convalesce and recover and rest and get through the dark time. There's times like that. But like Linda described, you continue to seek the Lord, you continue to walk with the Lord, and that time returns. You know, the Holy Spirit will renew, refresh you, and rejuvenate you, and you will be walking around again with a song in your heart. You will be speaking to one another again with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You will be making melody in your heart again to the Lord. You will once more find yourself giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because I can't help thinking that there are some listeners right now listening to the sound of my voice that you just feel like there is no reason to sing. You don't have a song in your heart. You've got nothing left. You are emptied and drained out. And I want you to know, my friend, just hang on to Jesus. Look to him. Continue steadfast. Don't look to fill that gap with sin. Like we talked about, sin is seeking to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Let the Lord be the one who meets that need. Let the Lord fill you with his Spirit and get you through this time of sorrow or grief or loss. Maybe you're going through a divorce or the loss of a loved one. There are seasons in life when we need to just hold on to the Lord and push through. And he will be with you during that time, okay? So all this is a picture of being filled with the Spirit. And you can be filled with the Spirit in good times or bad, because that's what we're talking about here. And then I told you in verse 20, it ends with a comma. So let's read verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, okay? So here's another important concept of what being filled with the Spirit looks like. I really believe that when you're filled with the Spirit, you're easy to get along with, okay? I've known people who always have to have things their way. It's my way or the highway, okay? And so I don't believe that that's a picture of being filled with the Spirit. There are people who think they know everything and think that there may be several different opinions on this, but my opinion is right. There may be many ways to do this, but my way is the best way to do this. Listen, folks, when it says submitting to one another in the fear of God, that means you submit, you are yielding to one another. You don't have to have it your way all the time. And why? Because you fear that person? No, because you fear the Lord. And I'm not talking about fear as, you know, you're paralyzed by fear. I just think that because I'm filled with the Spirit, because I love the Lord, I trust the Lord, I want to yield to the Lord, that when other people come to me with their own ideas, I'm not threatened by it. I don't have to insist in my way. I will listen to you. Now, I hear the music. That means we need to pick up here tomorrow and talk a little bit more about verse 21. But I trust the Lord is speaking in the previous verses. Lord bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at ccEagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look forward.